Spoiler Wars presents Star Wars Rebooted.
Welcome to Star Wars Rebooted, the podcast where we pretend we have been hired to reboot the Skywalker saga for a streaming series. This is the second part of our first big recording session, in which myself, Mando Mitch, and Cousin Alec start off by discussing the problems with the sequel trilogy before starting to break down our overall ideas for the prequels. All right, so tonight I want to start our Star Wars conversation with a discussion about the sequel trilogy to illustrate our individual taste and preferences as it relates to Star Wars storytelling in this 21st century. Common criticism, and one I certainly agree with, is that these prequel films didn't have a plan. They were really just rushing from movie to – excuse me, the sequel films did not really have a plan. They were just rushing from movie to movie without any of creative continuity, something – I intend to remedy if we ever get there, but we'll see. So first things first, I want to know, how'd you feel about the Force Awakens when you first saw it? I'll just go ahead and say that a lot of my take was, man, this is great. This sets up a lot of cool stuff. And then when the cool stuff is not fulfilled by the other two movies, it brings it down for me a little bit. Alec, let's start with you. What did you think about the Force Awakens when you first saw it, and how are you feeling about it now?
Man, I will say that what I remember watching it. We watched it opening night, Thursday night, opening night, as you know, I am apt to do, especially in a Star Wars movie. And I walked out of it, and I remember the difference in feeling that I had after watching that one compared to episode one or two in particular, is it had the energy of a Star Wars movie. Now, we'll get into the details of quality, performance, and like, wow, this is basically just a copy of episode four. I got that, but the chases across the planet, the Kylo Ren, at least in his opening as a bad guy, the opening scene with him was fantastic. So it felt like I was getting a bad guy like Darth Vader again. I mean, nobody can replace Darth Vader, obviously, but I thought there were moments, and I came out of it with just that, Like you've described in, I mean, not to the childlike wonder that I'm sure you first time seeing first episode four was, but you know, still as an adult, you had the, I felt like the energy and the goosebumps of like, all right, we set up a Star Wars story.
Yeah.
The movie was fun. The villains were evil. There was the camaraderie of the little group was brought together that I thought had great chemistry.
Yes.
I still think they had great chemistry that they decided in other movies to be like, you know, it'd be best for them. Is if we took these three people with great chemistry and sent them all in different directions.
Yeah.
That's the best move for these actors that are doing so well together. I'm just going to complain about episode eight while I say I liked it episode seven. But I was really excited then. I understood some of the criticisms, but I think I was probably where you were, Mason, where I was like, but this could be, and especially with J.J. Abrams, who has usually done some very good planning out of things, I was like, all right, if they treat this like the MCU and they have a three-movie plan, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Looking back, it ranks, and I did this, we've done this before, but I think it ranks probably like sixth overall in the 11 movies where I still enjoyed a lot of it, and I enjoyed Rey, and man, I love John Boyega, who has just not gotten a decent role after this. If you haven't seen it, listeners, go watch Attack of the Block. It's one of the best sci-fi independent movies ever made. But yeah, so it fell into the middle, I think, for what you were saying, because the promise failed me. Mitch, what about you? Did you have some good energy coming out, or were you all a naysayer from the beginning?
No, I had good energy. I was actually really looking for this, especially coming off of episode 1, 2, 3. I'm like, well, okay, you know, all right, I'm getting it. They had to connect, you know, from here, and they had to kind of build up to what 4 was. So it was like, all right, well,
they finally got a clean slate. It's like, man, they could go anywhere with this. You know?
And that's kind of where I was going. It's like, okay, Luke's story is kind of, well, now we're moving on. And it's like, but I knew from, of course, all the press and everything that our original three, Han, Luke, and Leia, that they were going to be coming back. And of course, that meant Chewie was also going to be there, which I was really happy to see. But going
we
into
were
it,
most happy to see.
Yes, absolutely. he is my favorite Wookiee. I'm sorry. There are other Wookiees that are out there. But nobody compares to Chewie.
I don't know. Black Chrysanthemum was giving him a run for his money in Boba Fett.
He was pretty badass. That was one of my favorite parts of Boba Fett.
I wouldn't want to hang with him, but
I'm not shitting on that Wookiee at all. He is awesome, but the personality that came through, he had a much harsher personality than what Chewie had. Chewie was very fun loving. He had a sense of humor, and I completely love that. But going into 7. I got to say, I was really looking forward to see what they were going to do with the story. I liked that we were seeing inside the world of a stormtrooper for the very first time.
Yeah.
Thought that was awesome.
Strengths of Force Awakens.
Yeah, I thought that was so freaking cool. And
totally underutilized in the following two films, by the way.
Sadly, yes. Yeah. But we did get that. We did get that. And I can't remember what... his TK number was, but the thing was, is that being able to see into that world for just a little bit, I thought that was kind of pretty awesome that you've got one person that has conflict, inner conflict. And I thought that was really cool. Being able to see BB-8 for the first time, I thought I love that droid.
Great droid.
You can never replace Kenny Baker and R2 for me. Kenny, I will live and die. I love that man. I think he is just so awesome. I've seen him in so many other movies. Kenny was a hero for me, but BB-8 was pretty badass.
I gotta say, so great.
Yeah, the same personality. I mean, to see him in R2 get that. I mean, I'm talking about it. Yeah. I got goosebumps. I'm not kidding.
Them meeting was a super fun moment.
Yes. Yeah. Being able to see, honestly, we just talked about, but being able to see the Falcon again, like when they showed that film, and I'm like, I about shit myself when they showed the Falcon.
Yeah, and they
I'm
do
like,
the reveal yes. of it, that piece yeah. of junk. No, I guess a piece of junk will work.
And then there's the great moment when you have Han and Chewie walk onto the Falcon when they're getting boarded, and you think it's bad guys, and then it's Han Solo.
Chewie.
That was a great moment. That was a great moment in a movie. Home.
I cried. I'm not kidding. I got emotional. See, I cried. And to be able to see these things coming around, like these are like old friends you have not seen in such a long period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as like, you know, you've come to know these characters so well, and to see those types of scenes were just so cool.
Yeah.
And to see more of the world, it just seemed like it was just so Naboo, Coruscant, you know, it was like, oh, okay. And Tatooine. I mean, we're still on Tatooine.
Basically.
But you get to see a little bit more of what's going on. The where's Han been? What's he been doing? What's him and Chewie getting in more trouble, of course, which is awesome. Yeah. And just being able to see all that stuff. I walked out of there, honestly. Turtle and I were walking out, basically discussing who's Ren's father.
Yeah.
And I was thoroughly convinced that this was another Skywalker situation. And I was,
well, they do
convinced.
It and they reveal that in episode 7. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I was like thinking that, okay, this is going to be a whole nother. I was disappointed with, Ben, or Kylo Ren. Again, I walked out of there going, okay, I'm expecting a lot because you got big boots to fill coming and being Darth Vader's grandson. And you got big boots to fill if you're going to be a baddie. And, like I said, he just ended up it was one tantrum after another. And I'm like, this is not the same guy. There's no way this guy is the
I kind of enjoyed the idea of making him, at least in that first film, this sort of wannabe Darth Vader character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then in the next two films, they basically kind of just make him Vader. I mean, not to that level, but he's no longer wannabe Vader. He's just a knockoff Vader.
Right. At that point. Right. Yeah. And the connection that you see later on again in 7 or 8 and 9. I started playing with that Skywalker idea was that when Ben went crazy and went on the dark side, he had a little sister and didn't know about it. And I thought that was like that's why they had that connection so much between Ren and him. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be okay. I got this all figured out. I got it all good.
What we didn't know is they didn't have it all figured out, so it didn't really matter what we had figured out or not.
I'm going to shit on 9 about that by like, okay, this is bullshit. That old man fell down an old canal and he should have been dead.
Jump in there, cuz.
Well, you know, funny enough, you guys were both thinking Skywalker. I actually had pegged Rey as the child of Kenobi. And his Mandalorian lover.
It was a possibility mainly because of the British accent.
That was my hope that they were going to hand it back to to young Kenobi was what I was hoping.
Yeah.
And that was what I thought in the beginning, and I was like, "Oh, it's going to be cool because now they're going to do reveals about like Ben, and I love Ben, but only Ben from the Clone Wars, like we've talked about in the non-movie stuff."
Yeah.
So I was hoping for that, and got none of it.
And that would have made, honestly, that would have been really honest because you could have brought in Bo-Katan because that would have been Auntie at that point.
And you brought in Death's Hand to come fight against Kylo Ren and the soldiers of Ren. How cool of a scene would that have been?
God, are you kidding me?
You got lightsaber leading the Mandalorians, lightsaber leaving the Knights of Ren.
I just want to say that
was what was going through my head, and I got nothing.
I just want to say right now, this is all on the table for the sequel trilogy, because I don't have this. Even like the prequels will respect the story beats somewhat. Sequels, forget it.
We could get mad at 9, but I just feel bad because of the dog turd that 8 was, that they were just trying to recover. They were in full on recovery mode and they had no chance.
Well, and that
Alec, that is a brilliant. Oh my God, dude! I cannot believe that I didn't think about that.
Wouldn't
that
been super fun? I thought that would be super fun. We have it's like the trilogy begins with Kenobi fighting Skywalker, and the trilogy ends with Kenobi fighting Skywalker, and Kenobi is the winner both times.
All right, folks, we've got our first new note card on the board. Our first idea on the board for
changing Rey's parents.
I love it, Alex. That's brilliant, man. That is totally brilliant, dude. I love it.
I think my reaction to The Force Awakens was not dissimilar from y'all's. It was, like I said, it was, this was a lot of fun. I think there's a cool thing.
We're Star Wars fans. We loved what happened. It was a Star Wars movie. We're Star Wars fans. We liked it. Like, that's what happened.
And I defended it against much of the criticism at the time, which primarily consisted of how much homage is just a remake. You know what I mean?
That was the fight.
I'm curious if y'all had a line on that. The line for me was Starkiller Base. It was just like, really? Like, yeah, the whole story structure's been kind of the thing, but we're really just going after a big round laser thing again.
I was like, okay, that was the one where if somebody was like, that ruined the movie for me, I was like, that's an acceptable reason for this movie to be ruined for you. Like, I can't defend that they're still building Death Stars. Like, what are we doing, guys? Who is the idea guy at the evil empire? Like, there's got to be, like, what if we just renamed it? Then they won't know what's going on. Then it's going to be totally fine.
We're basically just reversing the verbiage of it, not Death Star. Yeah, we're now Star Killer.
Killer Star. Star Killer. Nailed it. Lunch. Nailed it. I completely understand, and I had that argument with a lot of friends while defending the movie. They were like, "Why are they still doing that?" I was like, you got me. That one, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, and
that,
it goes
if it
to
ain't
the
broke. It's not. Don't fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
They try to you know, yada yada it by having Han Solo kind of do the like, well, there's always a way to blow it up. You know, like we've done this before. Wink, wink. But it was a little too like MCU self-awareness for me in that moment, particularly. Yeah. But
that was the negative of a movie that otherwise I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I loved it at the time. And I have to say at the time coming out of that movie in, you know, winter 2015, I loved it so much. It sort of sent me onto a deeper Star Wars binge than I had been on in years. And a bunch of, you know, new novels, new canon, old stuff, comic books, comics. All that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That was a really high point for the graphic novels too. The Vader stuff that was coming out back in 2015 to 2018 was great.
Some of the best, in my opinion. But yes, in relation to the line of Starkiller Base being a little too much for me, that carries through this whole trilogy in that really we're just doing the Empire again. You know, this whole First Order, it's just the Empire, but kind of not really. We're not going to tell you that till the end. You know, I just that.
I kept waiting. Sorry, Mason.
No, jump you. In there. That was.
I kept completely in agreement with what you're saying. I kept waiting for them to find another moment, and there's so much other Star Wars canon out there to make it cooler or to make it original was like bring in like the Darth Revan or the Jedi, the old Sith, and like do away with the rule of two or have an open battlefield kind of thing, like to try and make it their own. And the failure to do so just at all is one of the biggest indictments of the legacy of Abrams's sequel trilogy.
Without ever explaining any of it, it's just like, okay, Empire again is here. We never get any of the how did we get back here again? You know,
in the
intervening decades.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about it going through these next two movies, but the Snoke of it all, they clearly just were like, we need a big bad in the first movie. We don't know who he is or what he is yet. And then by the third movie, they're just like,
I will say right now, that was the biggest turd that they let in that whole trilogy. Thank you very much.
Oh, I just pooped a little.
The whole Snoke, where the hell did he come from? Who the hell is this guy? What is all that? And they just off him. There's no
backstory. He's so powerful, and they just pull a lightsaber through him.
Yeah.
I almost left the theater.
Yeah. Like
I love everything world? Star Wars, and it almost was enough for me to be like, nope. And I'm just walking out.
And again, there's still no...
Worst for me was just seeing him in the fucking fish tank at the start of Rise of Skywalker. Just like that, you just got a whole bunch of Snokes in the fish tank. Okay.
Yeah, like what in the hell was going on with that? I mean, that has to be, honestly, out of the entire trilogy, to me, that was the biggest thing that was thrown out there, left on the table, and not even talked about it anymore. It was just swept underneath the carpet. I'm like, wait, what about... this fucking guy. Why did we not even say anything about him? Why in the world would we have this heavy, like you said, Mason, you've got this heavy introduced there, and then you just basically write him off with the lightsaber duel like that. And if you're that powerful with the Force, you got to tell me you can't control that?
Yeah, he's just like throwing lightning bolts out of the ceiling, and he's corrupting people from across the universe, even though Luke is like standing next to him.
Yeah,
and we still don't really know how the puppeteering of Snoke worked at all. Not explained, you know.
I'm
feeling my blood pressure pop a little bit while we're talking about that guy.
My heart's palpitating right now, and it's not healthy.
Nice.
I'm having a palpitation.
I'm having palpitations. Oh, shit.
Somebody get a clone.
Oh shit. All right, the last thing I want to say about The Force Awakens, one of the ultimate sins of The Force Awakens for me is they killed Han before we got a chance to get the trio back together. If you're going to get all three of them for these films,
that would have been a priceless shot.
Them before you get all three of them in the room.
Ooh, man, I've never even thought about it in that way.
I just hate that we never got to see the three of them together.
I am a little
Mason,
salty.
I think you just changed the movie for me a little bit there, but
I can always make you hate a movie more.
Fuck, this is your dark side is so powerful.
I was salty about that. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I was salty about that because you wanted to be able to see the band back there. You already saw Leia and Han, and you had to wait till the very end with that speechless, no verbal, but you just had the image of Luke. Like, it would have been so nice to, like, Han, or, you know, come on, Harrison, can you stick with us for just that one half a movie more? But he wanted out so
It was very obvious that the only reason he came back is because he was promised that he was getting murdered.
He was going to die.
Like,
yeah.
He has notoriously hated these movies his entire life.
It's just, you got to get a couple of flashback scenes.
Grumpy old man. Sorry we bought you those three vacation homes, you dick.
Yeah.
Maybe smile to a reporter once or twice.
God forbid you there for us, you know. Jesus. Yeah.
Just the fact that we never got Harrison Ford to, you know, old Harrison Ford to old Mark Hamill with the, hey, you kid, you know,
that would have been cool.
I've never thought of it in that way. And you guys are maybe lowering the movie a little bit that I missed out on that. Damn it.
Well, speaking of lowering your opinions of movies, I don't think you can lower your opinion of The Last Jedi any more than it already is. Cause I think you are more vicious on that movie than just about anybody I know, though I'm close to you, but I'll let you take the lead on this one. What did you, was it an instant hate? Was it like mid movie hate?
Let me just take a deep breath in here to get all of this anger, bring my anger, focus it, focus the hate.
Your hate makes you strong.
Do it.
So I remember it opens up and it's the training. It's the bomb run sequence, right? It's like the opening.
I always think it picks up with Luke Skywalker, but no, he throws the lightsaber after.
No, why would we go to where it ended from the last movie? Because me and Johnson didn't watch the last movie or any movie that had Luke Skywalker in it. So, it starts off with a weird space battle that we are not really privy to. Okay, fine. That's happened in Star Wars before once and done really well. But you know what happened there is they caught the boat that they were chasing after real quick. That took about 2 minutes, not 2.5 hours.
Yeah, real slow. And it's not entirely slow.
Don't worry. They won't see our transports going out into space. Nothing that was said on the helm of that ship made any sense. And you could tell from the first 5 minutes that they were... that Rian Johnson was not interested in doing a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. He had his own thing dressed up.
His whole thing. They had handed him the film completely. JJ was like, "You're a great director." And he is. He has made some great movies. Brick is great. Knives Out, great movie.
Yeah.
But it maybe took me, like, I was okay with the bomb run and they're yelling at him for a second. I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's part of his character. And then as soon as it's just seconds after that, he's talking to Poe and Finn are talking and they're like, "We're going to send you in separate directions." And I was like,
What are you doing?
You don't get what these films are at that point, because it is about, like so many in space opera genre or in high fantasy, it's about the group traveling and the group and adventure and the camaraderie of that small group of people achieving over exceptional circumstances. That's what I love. That's what these movies do great. He destroyed it at the beginning, and I was angry then. And then we go get to see Luke, who, despite being the most powerful Jedi in history and the most optimistic human being I've ever seen in cinema, had become a grumpy old man on a boat because one time he thought his nephew might be evil, so he gave up on him.
That's the biggest sin in this movie to me is the Luke.
Yeah, the treatment of Luke Skywalker. Who
saw good in Darth Vader.
Yeah, you thought you could turn Darth, who was a mass murderer, and you were right.
Yeah,
by the way.
You did.
You were proven correct. But Ben, I'm going to let him go. No, he's a kid. I don't deal with kids well. I don't like teenagers.
Hey, he's not my kid. Fuck him. I don't care.
Yeah. He's just my nephew, not my dad. So we weren't as close. Han was kind of being a dick, so I was going to let his son run away for a while.
He gave me that shitty tie for Christmas that one time.
Then you have the Snoke scene and him getting killed. There were, like I said, seconds ago, there were almost three different times where I walked out of the movie. I was so angry, but I couldn't because I was a Star Wars fan. And I needed to see it. At the angriest I think I've ever been of a fan base that I feel so passionately about. The only one that comes close, I think, is the Batman versus Superman movie, where also just the whole time I'm just mad.
Yeah.
Just mad at terrible characters and terrible writing.
For me, the Last Jedi experience, that first viewing experience, was the most negative Star Wars experience I've had, watching a new movie. And that includes Rise of Skywalker or Attack of the Clones or whatever. This was far and away for me the, like...
I agree. It's my least favorite.
You broke it.
Said it is my least favorite of any Star Wars creation. Yeah. I haven't watched the holiday special yet, Mitch, but I bet I'd like it more than the fucking turd that Rian Johnson handed me.
You got to check it out, man. I'm telling you.
At least it would be lighthearted.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be mad the whole time.
Yeah.
And I will say, just to the note of, splitting up the characters, the devil's advocate argument would be, well, it worked pretty good in Empire and Jedi. A little bit different kind of circumstances in that, because you kept Han and Leia together.
Yeah, you kept Han, Leia, Chewie, and the droid.
Yeah.
C-3PO.
Yeah, Luke kind of went off and did his own thing. That was fine.
Sure,
but like,
you can do that training montage. That's fine. But you know what the best part of the beginning, the chemistry between Boyega and oh, now I'm mind farting on Moon Knight.
Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, both of them.
Oscar Isaac. I was a little thinking they were going to tell us they were in love by the end of the two movies. Like, they chickened just how out. Good their they chickened chemistry out. Was they at the beginning. Yes. I thought that wasn't going to be, the relationship wasn't going to be about Daisy Ridley. I thought that Boyega and Oscar Isaac were going to get together. I was like, Mazel Tov, that's going to be fucking awesome.
I was so confused. I was like, okay, is Boyega, is he into Poe or is he into Ray? Like, where are we doing?
It's where's
like,
he going?
Yeah,
he's a stormtrooper. He has had a lot of options, so I think maybe he's just shooting, bullets out there and seeing who responds.
If he's going to be the first pansexual in Star Wars, I'm totally cool with that.
Hey, Lando Calrissian would have a few.
That's fair. I bet Lando's been with
men, women, droids, aliens, everything.
Lando's polyamorous. That's that guy. Oh, yeah. Polyamorous, yeah. And pansexual. Yeah. Let me tell you right now.
Oh,
that,
what was
the show you described that we should get in, where it's Billy Dee Williams narrating, and then we go to an episode of Donald Glover telling the story? Like, let's just make that show. That
Calrissian Chronicles, Chapter 4.
Calrissian Chronicles. The love stories of Lando Calrissian.
Oh, my gosh.
He's going to put James T. Kirk to bed. That's all I'm saying. He's going to knock him.
Yeah.
You think you got some green aliens? I was sleeping with goop.
And robots.
Robot.
Lando robots was like the Lobots. Space age Casanova. You know what I mean? Like, he just fucking anything with two legs.
That's right.
So, Mitch, where were you on The Last Jedi? Pretty much the same, a little better, a little worse.
I will agree that it's probably my, even with 1, 2, and 3, it's probably my least favorite because of the twist that they ended up doing. The with the Emperor coming back and like they're having the battle out on the ships.
No, not Skywalker, Last Jedi.
Oh, Last Jedi, yeah, number 2. Sorry. This is 8.
8, yeah.
Sorry. sorry.
Well, you still gave us some info, so we're good.
It all worked until you said something about Palpatine, and then I was like, wait, we're not there yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, trust me, I wasn't there yet either.
Yeah, right? No, I'm still not.
But I don't know. So episode 9 was actually my worst favorite. I didn't like how they got rid of Snoke without any kind of explanation whatsoever.
How'd you feel about the Luke stuff in particular? You know, he's over it. He doesn't want to be a Jedi anymore. Fucking, you know, he's not entirely wrong about the, you know, some of
by that point. So we went into this by that point. Carrie Fisher had already passed, I think, at this movie. Or was it the
last during the filming of episode 8 that she passed away.
She passed. Okay.
So it's like half of her scenes are actually her, and then her daughter filled in for her for a couple.
Yeah. So at that point,
you know, this is the one where Kylo blows up the bridge. She's out in space, does the little, everybody calls it the Mary Poppins
moment, you know. Yeah. And like they have like, he's got the come to Jesus moment and all this other stuff. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know. I did not like the fact, I thought that this was going to be like a space buddy because it's like a passing of the torch. So we're not going to see, we already know from episode 7, we weren't going to see Han, Leia, and Luke all in the same room together.
Yeah,
we weren't gonna see it.
Yeah,
this is it. So you end up okay. All right. So you got Leia and Han, and this one you got in 8. You at least got Luke and Leia. That was kind of cool, even though it was a
force projection.
Yeah, it was still one of the moments that at least kept my heart happy, kept my fan heart happy.
I was totally down with that. I liked that. I would have liked the showdown to be a little bit better. Between Luke and Ben, but at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. There was the whole Snoke thing kind of set me off. And now I'm trying to remember, some of the other bits.
So much of it didn't work for me in terms of and I hate to, you know, Kelly Marie Tran has had a hard time with Star Wars and gotten a lot of fan hatred. It's not her fault. I just don't think the character works. It's this weird kind of like Disney Channel-ish character as Rose Tico comes in. You split Finn off, the most charismatic, one of the most charismatic new characters. Split him off. They go to the casino planet. They ride 5 years. It's yeah. just like,
which was just, I mean, it's just a Rhea Johnson being like, war profiteering is evil. Like, we get
and
that.
And it doesn't go yeah. anywhere. That
maybe
yeah.
this
biggest...
wasn't the best way to like tell us.
I did not agree with the split up like that. Again, what I was saying before, like, I thought if we were going to pass the torch, okay, I see Poe, I see Finn, and they're going off in the Falcon with Chewie yeah. and doing their thing. And Ren's kind of working her thing out with, Ren. Ray. Sorry. Ray. Wow. I'm blitzing. Working her thing out with Kylo Ren. And it was just like that, which, by the way, was another thing that I kept playing around in my mind was during 8. I'm like, okay, these two are related. There's something going on.
I thought there had to be something happening, but yeah. then it was like, Snoke did it because I'm magic.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
So, yeah. I mean, that whole thing, I don't know, man. I was still with them. I was still with the series and I was still okay. But 8 was kind of like the setup for the spike shot, which was episode 9, which yeah. I was like, wait, what the hell is going on? I thought the whole thing to the casino was a waste of fucking time. Why did
it didn't lead to anything. It failed. It didn't matter in the plot yeah. or the story whatsoever.
And then it specifically didn't matter in the plot. Like yeah. even nothing. The thing that they got, they're like, ha, that didn't matter. So
yeah. the only thing it set up was the kid with the ring in the stables watching them take off
and they never followed up on that either.
Ring.
Yeah. And, I was like, who's that kid? Is that because that kid had to be important? Why would they take that shot?
Good old broom boy.
Thank you. What is this foretelling? You know, and it's like they got nothing.
The only positives I can give to Last Jedi, and as negative as I am, I always try to find a few. I will say a lot of it is very visually stunning. That throne room lightsaber sequence.
Throne room lightsaber fight. Amazing. Yeah. That was amazing. After super disappointed that they killed Snoke that way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But the fight with the Knights of Ren was very cool. There were some cool visual moments. The race on the planet with the giant like goats or whatever they were that the casino guys were watching.
The Fathiers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a visually and sound wise, it was cool, like pod racing scene. But you know what? It wasn't was important or what, storytelling.
I got a question for you now. Was that Knights of Ren that he fought?
The guy, but the ones in the red suit? But it should have been.
I would agree.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I always call it the Knights of Ren because they should have been, but that's not.
Yeah. And then they do nothing with the Knights of Ren, really. Ben fights them quickly in the next one.
It murders them in a montage.
With a lightsaber that he just got out of his lower back. And like, wow, that was okay. That's kind of cool.
Well, we've already started talking about it. Let's quickly finish up our feelings of Rise of Skywalker here. I will say this one for me, the first viewing, I think it was just one of those, you know, every 2 years I'm so excited about a Star Wars film, you know, and if I'm in that right mood going in, it's really hard to fuck it up for me. I actually walked out of The Rise of Skywalker happy the first time, but it was one of those, give me a couple hours to think about it. And I'm like, but fucking Palpatine though, you know, like why?
Yeah.
That guy.
And then I went back the next day to see it again and could barely sit through it. I was both bored and like infuriated by actually having time to think about the plots. Where are y'all at on the whole Palpatine of it all? Personally, I think by having Palpatine still out there and still pulling the strings, it sort of ruins the original trilogy for me in a way. So Vader and Luke, neither Anakin Skywalker nor Luke Skywalker really accomplished shit in their lifetimes. You can't take that away from me. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
Y'all with me on that? Cousin, how'd you feel about it?
I think that we've brought up while discussing some of the series that they have a Luke Skywalker problem where they've come back to him too many times. Coming back to Palpatine is the same thing. You're hitting
worse
note that's
in my
already
opinion.
It's much worse, sure, but it you're hitting a note that should already be done, a story that's already been told because you have not spent the time to come up with anything better.
It was just so lazy, and you know they were up against the gun.
It was a bad writing choice. When he was there, I think that very similarly, Mason, especially after 8, because as you know, I hated all of 8 and almost walked out. There were moments in 9 that at least were enjoyable for me. All of the voices and them bringing back the voice actors that I love from Rebels and from Clone Wars. I love that touch.
Yeah.
You know, hearing Ahsoka for the first time talk to
even
her.
Even as much
know.
As I hated the Palpatine, I thought visually all of that stuff on Exegol and the Sith, it looked cool. Really cool.
Yeah, it's looked just... cool. And where it was stupid stuff, like while I was watching it the first time, him running across the ship or whatever was super cool and I was enjoying it. And then the second time I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
This is not
their horses
making the sense too much. I'd say it was a better original viewing experience, and then it dropped down towards third from the bottom. So what does that make it? Nine out of the 11.
What about you, Mitch? Where are you?
I'm kind of the same way. Again, Palpatine, and I, as I said earlier, thinking that we were talking about nine because I was all ready to shit all over it.
You may proceed to shit, sir.
Thank you very much.
Bravo.
Thank
you. The toilet is yours.
Yes. Now cue the
Oop, wrong sounder.
Nailed it.
Yeah, that was perfect. It's like too late now. Forget it. Don't worry about it. It's too late.
Yeah. I missed it.
So yeah, the window was only there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now I think having Palpatine, you've got to be, this was a very heartbreaking part for me. Cause I was building up in my head that something was going to be revealed with, that, you know, I don't know anything, but what really happened. And to have the trailers come out and like Palpatine's voice, like how in the world are they going to explain this? Which they really didn't.
They
didn't even touch on it. And the whole
they literally yada yada'd it with secrets only the Sith knew. I don't know.
And like, so if this was Palpatine's daughter, is that what, if I remember correctly?
Granddaughter.
Okay, well, who did Palpatine fuck in the first place in order to even have a kid, much less a grandkid?
And was it an actual offspring or was it another clone? You know, I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. Yeah, that's the part that kind of was sort of like, wait, what?
And we're really going to have to pull up the sleeves on that area to give any sort of validity to this.
I mean, I was really kind of, but then he's the only thing that was wrong is he's got this broken back thing and he's connected to this big machine and it's like very Terminator-ish kind of a thing for me. Yeah. And I don't know, man. I would have to say that, and then the stuff that they were doing, I love seeing the Armada finally coming in of like every.
Oh, yeah. I'm a sucker for those moments.
I mean, come on.
Those moments were enough for me to like it a little bit more.
Yeah. That's your feel good. Yeah. I mean, seeing all the ships and everything else that were just in wait, like they've got to be burning energy just hovering there. Like, what in the world?
And now we're just miniaturizing Death Stars on all the ships and like, okay.
Like, you know, Star Destroyer. So now we've got
mini Star Killers.
Who
don't
knows?
Don't worry.
I was really kind of like, I don't know. I wasn't really happy with the way that they summed it all up.
Yeah. I
accept it because it's the Star Wars canon. Yeah. I think the Palpatine part, I'm going to call bullshit on that.
Yeah, see, this is the one for me where it's like, because of the way it devalues original trilogy and prequels by having Palpatine, this is the one that I'm really just like, I kind of pretend the sequel trilogies are, you know, expanded universe, you know, the multiverse of Star Wars or something, but not something the real.
It's
not really how
there.
Luke Skywalker's story ended.
I walked out of there feeling very cheated about that. And I will say that was the one thing I was really salty about that movie. Cause I looked at Turtle and I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me. And the only thing I could think of was that like, you're so racked for coming up with an original major bad guy that you had to bring back Palpatine.
Yeah.
You brought back this Snoke guy and didn't even tell us where he came from.
Didn't even use him. Yeah.
Yeah. If you've got that, why, what about Snoke's, the puppeteer that was controlling him? Did it have to be Palpatine? Could it be another guy that ended up turning in to it could have been Revan, you know, or
why couldn't we just have Kylo Ren be the big bad guy? Have him finally ascend
to
true evil.
Yeah. Why? Like, take that last final step.
They're like, nah, we need Adam Driver to be a hero. And to have his Han moment after the kiss, like, no, we didn't need that. We didn't need that at all.
Well, I was still at that point when they kissed. I was like, oh, they're brother and sister. Why are they doing that? This is this is Luke and Leia all over again. It's still gross. Why? I was still hanging.
Didn't feel right to me either. Still, yeah.
I was hanging on to that dream going, this can't be real. This can't be happening.
And I don't know what their age difference is between those two actors, but I think it's enough to where it's like, that's a little weird. I don't know. I don't know about this. I could be completely wrong. I'd have to look it up. But the last thing I'll say about the sequel trilogy, in my opinion, as it relates to how we do this going forward, if we ever get there, Palpatine stays dead. Okay. Palpatine stays dead. Non-negotiable.
I would rewrite that. And actually, I would like to refer to Alec and his pin that he put up on the board. I would like to work out that whole Ben Kenobi situation because, man, that's awesome.
On the table. On the table.
We'll get it working. We'll get it working. I'll start storyboarding some shit.
All right, so that's our sort of precursor. Get the juices flowing. You know. Get our heads into Star Wars space. Last thing we need to do before we start talking about the prequel, real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about some other material that's on the table that we could bring in. In other words, what's some of your favorite non-film Star Wars, video games, books, movies? I'll give you a couple of mine right off, cousin. We've talked about it before. Weirdly, the N64 game Shadows of the Empire and the ensuing novel is one of the things that pulled me into Absolutely. Star Wars at 14 fantastic. Or whatever. Enjoyed that quite a bit. Still to this day, one of my favorite video games of all time is actually the N64 Rogue Squadron game.
Infamous game, yes.
Yeah. About every 10 years, I get the urge and then track down an old N64 somewhere and play it for, you know, a few weeks. I've got a long list. You guys, you got any you want to throw in there?
Yeah. So video game wise, Knights of the Old Republic is one of the best stories ever told in video games. And it is about a Sith Lord named Darth Revan, mm-hmm. who has an amazing story about being a Jedi, leaving the Jedi to become a Sith because he wanted to win a war against the Mandalorians and save the Republic. Who does that sound like? Like Darth Vader? Yeah, it's exactly like Darth Vader. He's protecting the Republic and chooses evil to do it. And then the Jedi erase his memory and then bring him back to fight his apprentice with an erased memory. It's an amazing story. You should see it coming, but it's one of those really great reveals in the legacy of Star Wars great reveals. And then book-wise, I am obsessed with anything that has to do with Admiral Thrawn. He is one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, the old Heir to the Empire stuff with Timothy Zahn. Now the new canon series by Zahn
as
well.
The new canon by Zahn is incredibly well-written. He was great in Rebels and following.
Look out for him in Ahsoka.
I had a huge hard-on appear when Ahsoka in Mandalorian looked at him and went, "Where's Thrawn?" And I was like, "Yay!" You know, happy kid, talked to Garland about it, went and woke her up to tell her that it was happening, but she did not.
Oh, I thought you meant you woke her up for something else with that thing that appeared there.
let's not get into that. This children are listening, basically.
Hey, you started it.
How dare you accuse me, sir?
If you're not interested in the show reference, what about this?
Yeah, I got something.
What about you, Mitch? Any favorites out there in the expanded universe?
I can't remember the name of the video game, but it's Darth Vader's Apprentice.
Force Unleashed. Unleashed. I was just coming Thank to that you. One. Yeah.
I absolutely loved playing that game. Love the fact that the character looked like the one actor.
Sam Witwer, who does a lot of the voices in Rebels and stuff. He does the Palpatine and Darth Maul voices.
And down the road. I just love that he was used for that. And I love playing that video game. And to be honest with you, I didn't pay any attention to the books. I have to confess because I was nervous. I've heard about characters. Don't get me wrong. In like Star Wars Wiki, you know, you end up hearing backstories about all these different characters and everything else. Like Revan, I mispronounced his name and said Raven, but Revan. I knew about that story. And again, doing a little bit more history with the Mandalorians, but other than like articles online, I never really, I have a Star Wars encyclopedia.
Yeah.
about the ships.
Like I said, I got into the novels late.
Hey, it's okay if that's your favorite book, is the Star Wars Encyclopedia, because that is a true Star Wars fandom right there.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, I wanted to find out.
I support it.
My whole reason for even buying that book, I'm not kidding, was that I wanted to know why was there a fork in the front of the Falcon? What was that all about? I later found out that that's where they locked in on the cargo part. And that's why you had the navigation.
Not the escape pod.
Not the escape pod. It would lock into a vertical, not horizontal, but a vertical a cargo piece, and it would actually push it that way, which is why
the
cockpit is on one side, and then you had that huge satellite over on the other, so you could be able to see what was happening on the other side.
I had
of
no
the
idea.
Ship.
See, learning some new stuff here.
I love that.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, that's great.
The Corellian ship. That Corellian ship has got to be. I want to say it's the. Oh, something 5300 or something like that. And I mean, it's
YTK
got to be
50 to something. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It is the coolest freaking ship.
Great design, man.
That Ralph is McCoy in that entire thing. Doing. Besides Slave One, I'm not going to lie, because just everything about Slave One,
which
I
you
absolutely
can't call
love.
Slave One anymore. They're like Boba Fett ship.
To me, it's okay. It's going to be Slave One. I hear you. Negative about that. There's no connection. Mentally for me, I'm not any kind of, I'm just going to put it out there.
You're not going to get canceled for that one. I promise.
Okay. I don't want
to. You still get to be part of the podcast. It's all right. You said that.
Thank
you. We're not getting rid of you.
But honestly, the three best ships, the Falcon, the Slave One, and then also the Razor Crest, the Mandalorian. I was heartbroken when they blew that shit up in the
series. Yeah, I like the Razor Crest a lot.
That was so good.
I'm actually.
I don't want to get into an argument, but there's.
Yeah, I was about to go down the let's talk about ships road, but let's.
Yeah, so Star Wars iconic about the folds, the X-wing coming up, and I just can't help but love it. I can't. That's the thing for me.
I don't have my X-wing.
Know you got one somewhere.
I've got four X-wings of various sizes, Lego X-wings that I have literally. That I'm setting up in my other.
I've got one upstairs, which is the 2 foot long one that took me. It's so great. So great.
I am not upset about that, but that's a good fighter. I like that as a fighter, not a.
Sure.
A,
sure, sure,
know,
sure. A it's a boat, ship. Not a ship.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah.
All right. A couple of things I want to throw out there that are actually recommended reading for anybody who might be interested, but also I think are. Prime material, definitely some stuff I want to get into our version of this. Number one, love the book, Darth Plagueis by James Luceno.
Very great.
We get basically Palpatine's whole apprenticeship. You know, we actually get this explanation.
Which is really Palpatine's story, not the Skywalker saga, which is what they made it into. Based on nine, then I think you would have to bring a lot of that into episode one.
Which I'll tell you, I've got a lot of that on our season one outline for Darth Plagueis stuff. Yeah, in the book, basically Palpatine kills Plagueis right after he's elected Chancellor.
Yeah,
so I think it all lines up pretty nicely, and a lot of
It would be a cool way to do that. We mentioned a movie earlier, is you do it Godfather 2 style, where it's comparing his dad to the son, except you talk about
training
Plagueis, and you do two different timelines going at the same time.
That for at least a couple of episodes
at least one or two that are flashbacks. Filler episodes, as you've referred to them in the past.
They hit, and I think it's occasionally done well, but I think that's all like essential shit that we just never really got in the movies in terms of like what does the actual force and balance and dark side and Anakin, what is he?
Man, you already got me starting to think about it. Now I'm looking at you can bring Dooku in and talk about his apprenticeship too.
Dooku is also going to be a much bigger factor in episode one. I'll tell you that.
He needs to have a bigger footprint because I got to be honest with you. You had Darth Maul in episode one and it was just all of a sudden Dooku just came out of nowhere. Like you really picked up another apprentice that fast. What happened to the rule of two? You know, what was all that about?
Oh, man. And frankly, though, I guess we're recasting it. I could listen to Christopher Lee talk about what he ordered at Wendy's and I'd be pretty happy.
Absolutely. Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
why would you limit his usage in a movie? I don't know.
So what underused. So there. Underused.
And honestly, you know what? If we're going to go with that, Grievous, we need to talk about that motherfucker. Because
well, it's the same problem. I'm glad you mentioned it. They basically, you know, just throw him in at the start of three. Thank when you're you. Like, who the fuck is this guy? You've got to set these up. You know, it'd be like Vader yeah. just shows up in Return of the Jedi.
All you these know? Lightsabers. You're collecting lightsabers. Where the hell did he come from?
Yeah.
I mean, what's all that about?
All of this stuff, we need to start seeding it earlier than just like,
yeah,
here they agree. Are, you know?
Yeah.
Couple other recommended readings I'll throw in there. Not as high on my like overall list, but I think the stories may bring some stuff in. So there's Brotherhood, which is a very recent novel by Mike Chinn that is basically right after Anakin has been knighted and kind of their first phase of him and Obi-Wan working together as like, sort of equals rather than the master-apprentice relationship. Enjoyed some of that. Shatterpoint, the novel about Mace Windu. Not a great story overall, but I like getting more about that character.
I'd actually heard negative things about that one. I haven't read it because I don't.
Yeah, it's not a great story, but like it's one of those, you know, like every once in a while you get a little tidbit about Mace Windu and you're like, okay, all right, this. I get it. You know, he was like Dooku was like his best friend basically. So, you know, okay. he was like, there was hesitation at the Geonosis arena because Dooku was his best friend. And so he spends the war years beating up on himself for like, I could have prevented this whole thing if I could have just taken my friend down.
Yeah.
But that's not in what, so anyway, that stuff I would recommend. You can pick it up on Wikipedia though. And then last but not least, Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray. That is a pre-episode one Padawan Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon. You get a little more of their relationship and also how the sort of lineage of that Dooku being Qui-Gon's former master. You know, he's almost like Obi-Wan's Force grandfather kind of a character. So I think some of that could be interesting as well. Any other recommended reading or just general, you know, fan favorite stuff out there in the universe you anybody want to mention before we start talking about the prequels?
Alec, that's all you, buddy, because again, I'm not in. I got the encyclopedia.
Yeah. Hey, listen, the encyclopedia, obviously recommended reading.
You mentioned the Vader comics, you know, Charles Soule.
The Vader comics that they've done.
That's true.
Dark Horse Comics has had two good runs, one off of Vader, and there's also an Adventures of Luke series of comics that take place after episode six that are very good about his adventures as a Jedi. Those came out in, good Lord, like 2002, 2003, I think, which would be... they talk about him as an adventuring Jedi and then his failures to get the Jedi started up again or being too loyal to what it was before. There's a lot of the arguments for people about that, which I think could be interesting to bring in terms of what happened to Luke for 7, 8, and 9.
Yes.
Or what were the failures of Luke in 7, 8, and 9. So those are good reading too. Just as fun stories, but really the Dark Horse Vader comics. Yeah. If you can find them online pretty cheap. Dark Horse is pretty good about giving you the image quality isn't always the best, but they'll give you some good stuff.
Well, look out for all that. And then of course we've all mentioned and recommended Clone Wars animated series. There's a shit ton of episodes. Yeah. They're not all great, but there are some good, great ones in there. Overall, Rebels, I think, is better quality.
Rebels is more of a series. Clone Wars is just an exploration of the Star Wars galaxy. Yeah.
And it's told non-chronologically, which makes it like there's kind of three episode arcs, and you're never really sure when anything's taking
place. What is happening. It does make you love a weird-looking dude named Plo Koon, all right? he becomes your favorite Jedi. You can't help it.
I will say I haven't figured out how we would do it yet, but particularly a lot of the Obi-Wan Duchess Satine stuff is stuff I would like to work into season two
if we can
figure out how to do it without Duchess destroying the timeline stuff. I just think it'd be a great mirror to what Anakin is going through with Padme.
Just work in some Moulin Rouge stuff. That was Lady Satine, so it's Obi-Wan. So it's basically just cut in some Moulin Rouge singing clips. It's Obi-Wan in a musical episode.
I'm all for that because that takes us over to Mandalore before the big hellabaloo with all them.
Before the blow up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and also before your Death Watch riots and all that other crap and the wars that were going on over there. I'm down for that.
I've got to rewatch those Clone Wars arcs though, because it may be too big of a bite to chew because, you know, the Maul's involved and he ends up killing her. I mean, I'm okay with bringing Maul back in, but then it may just be too much.
That'd be tough.
You also get you also see the comeback of the Darksaber. You get Tor Vizsla talking about the whole House Vizsla. You start getting all that in there, and I mean that's huge. That's really huge because that sets up.
It's great stuff, but I feel like I'm going to be the producer that says we need to make that a separate series, guys. I'm with you.
I hear you. Yeah.
Boss. Yeah, let's do a separate series. There you go. That's your next podcast right there. Let's make it. How do we make Mandalore? And we make Mandalore, all that
the story. Let's, yeah.
Well, we've got to actually give them the chance to make that, which it kind of seems like they are. If you've been seeing the trailers for Mando season 3, You know, I don't know that it's going to be all flashback stuff, but we'll see what they give us first before we presume.
I would love to see Din Djarin's origin story. That would be pretty badass. You got hints of it and everything else, but I would love to see what actually led those.
Hey, it happened during the Clone Wars, so you know.
I would love to see how that ended up portraying that. They're like, what happened before they found him? Hidden away in the little bunker cellar thing.
This is occurring to me in real time, but it also sort of gives us a Grogu problem that we have to deal with. And like, wait, so I guess he's at the Jedi Temple this whole time because he's 50 in the show. So, you know, he's born about a little before Phantom Menace, I think, basically.
Raises
some questions, but we don't have to deal with.
We don't have a Grogu problem. We've got a Grogu solution for
some. Yes. Grogu is a solution to everything. Yeah.
When he shows up later, it's going to be pretty great.
That is preview number 2 of Star Wars Rebooted. In our next preview episode, we will get our first look into our imaginary writer's room. Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay spoilery, everybody.